What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we were supposed to have a show on Monday, but unfortunately, I was supposed to be home on Saturday afternoon from Hawaii, and actually didn't end up getting home until Monday night from Hawaii due to a bunch of crazy, insane travel issues from a huge-ass storm that ended up hitting Hawaii. And yeah, I spent 4 days straight in an airport, so there was no show Monday because it was real difficult for me to actually get home on Monday. But here I am. I actually did have a great time in Hawaii. Otherwise, Hawaii was amazing. It was beautiful. I just sat around and was a beach bum literally for the entire week until I had to spend 4 days at the motherfucking airport. But let's get into March Madness because, that started actually technically Tuesday with the play-in tournament. But yesterday is when it really got going. I did make a bracket on Monday. So whatever my predictions are, this is my bracket that I started on Monday before all the games began yesterday. But Duke almost gave everybody a heart attack last night. I'm sure tons of brackets were almost busted last night, myself included. So let's get into my bracket, and we'll also kind of discuss where we are right now leading up to the round of 32 that's going to begin tomorrow. But right now we are day two on the round of 64. So let's begin with the East bracket, with the number one overall seed being Duke, who almost took a Duke yesterday against Siena. But they did end up getting the win, and I did have Duke winning that one. Then we had Ohio State versus TCU, and I had TCU winning that one, and TCU moved on. Then we have St. John's versus Northern Iowa. I have St. John's. Kansas versus California Baptist. I have Kansas. Louisville versus South Florida. I had Louisville moving on, and they did. Then Michigan State versus North Dakota State. I had Michigan State moving on, and they did. Then UCLA versus UCF. I have UCLA. Then UConn versus Furman, and I have UConn. Then moving on to the round of 32 in the East bracket, I have Duke versus TCU, and I have Duke moving on in that matchup. St. John's versus Kansas, I have St. John's moving on in that matchup. Louisville versus Michigan State, I have Louisville moving on. Then UCLA versus UConn, I have UCLA moving on. Then my Sweet 16 in the East Conference or East Bracket is Duke versus St. John's. I have Duke moving on in that one. Louisville versus UCLA. I have UCLA moving on in that one. And then my Elite Eight for the East Bracket is Duke versus UCLA with Duke moving on to the Final Four in the East Bracket. And like I said, had Duke lost yesterday, that would have completely taken out that entire half of my bracket there and a part of my Final Four as well. And I'm sure a lot of other people's brackets as well, but they did end up hanging on in an overtime game barely last night. Then in the round of 64 on the west side of the bracket, we have the number one overall seed is Arizona versus LIU Brooklyn. I have Arizona moving on. Then Villanova versus Utah State. I have Villanova moving on. Wisconsin versus High Point. I had Wisconsin and High Point won. Arkansas versus Hawaii. I took Hawaii and Arkansas is moving on. BYU versus Texas, I took my Texas Longhorns and they moved on. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Then Gonzaga versus Kennesaw State, I took Gonzaga and they are moving on. Then Miami versus Missouri, I have Miami. Purdue versus Queens University, I have Purdue. Michigan versus Howard, that's a wrong bracket, that's a different side. Then moving on to the round of 32 and the West bracket, I have Arizona versus Villanova, I have Arizona moving on. High Point versus Arkansas, I actually had Wisconsin versus Hawaii, and I had Wisconsin moving on, so that's already ruined. Then I have Texas versus Gonzaga, I have Gonzaga moving on. Miami versus Purdue, I have Miami moving on. Then my Sweet 16 on the west side of the bracket, I have Arizona versus Wisconsin. And obviously I had Wisconsin moving on, and they did not, so we don't know who that's going to be, but I had Arizona winning that matchup anyways. And then Gonzaga versus Miami, I have Miami moving on. Then my Elite Eight for the west side of the bracket is Arizona versus Miami, and I have Arizona moving on to the Final Four on the west side of the bracket. Then the south side bracket, number one overall seed are the Florida Gators versus Prairie View A&M. I have Florida moving on. Then Clemson versus Iowa, I have Iowa moving on. Vanderbilt versus McNeese, I had Vanderbilt moving on, and they did. Nebraska versus Troy, I had Nebraska moving on, and they did. Then North Carolina versus VCU. I had North Carolina, and VCU pulled basically the first upset of the bracket, and that was a big one. I mean, it was a crazy battle and a great game, but VCU ended up getting the win in that one. Then Illinois versus Pennsylvania. I had Illinois, and they are moving on. St. Mary's versus Texas A&M. I have Texas A&M, and they moved on. And then Houston versus Idaho. I have Houston, and they moved on. So then my round of 32 for the South Side bracket is Florida versus Iowa. I have Florida moving on. Vanderbilt versus Nebraska. I have Vanderbilt moving on. VCU versus Illinois. I have Illinois moving on. Texas A&M versus Houston. I have Texas A&M moving on. Then the Sweet 16 in the South Side bracket, I have Florida versus Vanderbilt, and I have Florida moving on. And then Illinois versus Texas A&M, I have Texas A&M moving on. And then my round of eight, my Elite Eight for the South Side, is Florida versus Texas A&M, and I have Texas A&M moving on to the Final Four in the South Side bracket. And I'm going to say it, this, I always pick some random team that I think is just going to randomly go far, because usually that does happen. It doesn't always end up being all the top tier seeds that make it to the Final Four. There's always some random throw in a monkey wrench type team. And so to me, Texas A&M is my random monkey wrench team that I got in there moving on to the Final Four. And then the last bracket I have is the Midwest bracket. Michigan is the number one overall seed versus Howard. I had Michigan moving on, and they did. Georgia versus St. Louis. I had Georgia moving on, but St. Louis got the win. Texas Tech versus Akron. I have Texas Tech moving on. Alabama versus Hofstra. I have Alabama moving on. Tennessee versus Miami of Ohio. I have Tennessee moving on. Virginia versus Wright State. I have Virginia moving on. Kentucky versus Santa Clara. I have Kentucky moving on. And then Iowa State versus Tennessee State. I have Iowa State moving on. Then the round of 32 for the Midwest bracket. I have Michigan versus St. Louis. I have Michigan moving on. Texas Tech versus Alabama. I have Texas Tech moving on. Tennessee versus Virginia. I have Tennessee moving on. And Kentucky versus Iowa State. I have Iowa State moving on. So my Sweet 16 in the Midwest bracket is Michigan versus Texas Tech. I have Texas Tech moving on. And Tennessee versus Iowa State. I have Iowa State moving on. And my Elite Eight in the Midwest bracket is Texas Tech versus Iowa State. And my Final Four rep on the Midwest bracket is going to be Iowa State. So my Final Four matchups are Duke versus Texas A&M and Arizona versus Iowa State. And my national champion matchup is going to be Duke versus Arizona, which I believe are obviously the top two teams. They've been the top two teams all season, and I just don't really see them letting up at any point. Even though Duke got pushed to the brink yesterday, I feel like that's them going to be getting pushed to the brink. It's the championship, this is what it's all for. So, I mean, that's what you're going to be pushed to the brink every single game. But I feel like that was their wake-up call. Don't be shocked if Arizona has some type of wake-up call along the way as well. But that's my championship matchup, and I have Arizona winning it all. So that is my bracket as far as it looks. I actually don't have too much red on there yet, but I'm anticipating by Monday a complete demolishment of my bracket, as that's usually what happens to everybody's bracket. And like I said, Duke gave everybody a big scare. I'm sure North Carolina fucked up some people's brackets. I mean, they weren't really a heavy favorite anyways, but I'm sure some people had them going at least to kind of like the Elite Eight, maybe sneaking them into the Final Four. That was the big upset so far. And like I said, my wild card team is Texas A&M. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here the rest of the way. And it's March Madness, and thank God, because I love March Madness. All right, so let's move on to the NBA playoff picture. And the last couple of weeks of basketball have actually been pretty crazy. I didn't pay a lot of attention to what was going on in sports when I'm on vacation, because I tend to plug out. I don't really pay attention to my cell phone. I don't really pay attention to much going on. I don't really do anything. I might see some things that pass through the news, but overall, I didn't really see much until I got home. And when I've been looking at everything, I'm like, damn, some of these teams are on some crazy winning streaks. And we already have some teams that have clinched playoff berths, because the NBA playoffs are right around the corner. So let's talk about the NBA playoffs and see where we are at. Beginning with the Western Conference, and the number one overall seed, of course, is the Oklahoma City Thunder with a regular season record of 55-15. They're actually currently on a 10-game winning streak. So the Oklahoma City Thunder are right back where they left off. You know, before I went on vacation, they were kind of teetering towards, are we a good team anymore? But it looks like SGA is back to health. They're on a 10-game winning streak, which just says a lot. and they won their division this week as well. So they've clinched a playoff spot. It looks like they're going to be the number one overall seed, barring some type of crazy fall. But the Oklahoma City Thunder, here they are again. Then the number two overall seed right now in the Western Conference is the San Antonio Spurs. Their overall record is 52-18 on the regular season. And last night, they clinched their first playoff spot since 2019. That is the last time the Spurs made the playoffs. So they are back in it and looking damn good. I mean, still looking great. Wemby made the big game-winning shot last night. And, you know, they just keep it moving, keep it rolling, and playing great basketball and are the number two overall seed right now in the Western Conference. Number three overall seed. I am kind of shocked here. I did not expect to see my Los Angeles Lakers not only as the number three seed, they've clinched a playoff spot, but they're also on an eight-game winning streak. Their record right now is 45-25. Luka is on a tear this week. He scored 60 points last night. And the rest of this week, he's been scoring 40 points. He still leads the league in overall scoring. So this guy's murdering. I mean, he is absolutely up for MVP. And like I said, now the Lakers actually look pretty damn legit. This is how you want to see them rolling into the playoffs because LeBron is on some. Austin Reeves looks like he's healthy. So we'll see what happens here with this Lakers team. But I'm really liking what I'm seeing from them finally. Hopefully they don't slump here, but the last couple of weeks while I was gone, boom, looking good. Then the number four overall seed right now is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are 43-27. They have clinched a playoff spot. Number five overall seed right now in the Western Conference is the Houston Rockets. They're 41-27. They have also clinched a playoff spot. Then the number six overall seed right now is the Denver Nuggets. They are 42-28. They have also clinched a playoff spot. Then on the play-in side of things, right now the number seven overall seed is the Phoenix Suns. They have clinched a spot, so they're either going to be in the play-in or a playoff, regardless of what happens here, but they've definitely made it. Their overall record is 39-31. The number eight overall seed is the Los Angeles Clippers with a record of 34-36. Number nine overall seed is the Portland Trail Blazers with an overall record of 34-36. And the number 10 seed, Golden State Warriors, overall record of 33-36. Still without Steph Curry right now. It's looking like he may potentially come back here in the next week or two, but I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Then in the Eastern Conference side of things here, number one overall seed is the Detroit Pistons with a record of 50-19. They have clinched a playoff spot. Unfortunately, Cade Cunningham has suffered a collapsed lung, and he's going to be out at least the next 2 weeks. And that's a big deal because this is kind of one of those injuries where you don't know when he's coming back. Then when he does come back, it's like, what's going to happen here? I mean, the Pistons got a very solid grip on this number one overall seed right now. But you just really don't know what's going to happen here down the stretch. I mean, there's still about 3 weeks left before we hit the playoffs. And you really don't want to be losing your top-tier guy. So we'll see if the Pistons are able to keep it moving without Cade. But that's a big deal and a big blow to your team right before the playoffs start. Then the number two overall seed in the Eastern Conference right now is the Boston Celtics with a record of 46-23. They have clinched a playoff spot. Number three overall seed is the New York Knicks. They are 45-25. They've clinched a playoff spot. Number four overall seed right now is the Cleveland Cavaliers with a record of 43-27. They've clinched a playoff spot. Then the number five overall seed is the Toronto Raptors with a 39-29 record. And right now, as a matter of fact, those four teams, Pistons, Cavaliers, Knicks, and Celtics are the only four teams in the Eastern Conference that have clinched playoff spots. Everything else is still up for grabs beyond those top four teams. Then at number six right now is the Atlanta Hawks, 38-31 on the regular season and currently on an 11-game winning streak right now. So watch out for the Atlanta Hawks Eastern Conference. That might be a team you really want to look out for who might actually make some type of a run come playoff time. And then on the play-in side of the Eastern Conference, the number seven overall seed right now is the Orlando Magic at 38-31. Number eight overall seed, the Miami Heat at 38-32. Number nine overall seed, the Philadelphia 76ers at 38-32. And the number 10 overall seed, the Charlotte Hornets at 36-34 on the season. So that's how the playoffs are looking right now. Almost the entire Western Conference is pretty much spoken for, other than a couple of, it looks like three spots are open. But as far as the Eastern Conference goes, it is four playoff spots are spoken for, and everything else is up for grabs. And even teams I didn't discuss are still in it. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens here down the stretch. Like I said, as far as the Western Conference goes, it's just going to be as far as the seeding goes. But the Eastern Conference, still well up for grabs. And since baseball season kicks off next week, it is now time for my 2026 MLB season predictions. Today, we're going to start with the National League and American League West divisions, and just going to break down how I feel those are going to end up. And then we're going to do the National League and American League East on Monday. Then next Friday, we will do the National League and American League Central. And then two Mondays from now, we'll be talking about who I think is going to win the playoffs and who I ultimately think is going to end up winning the World Series and everything. I know we got a long-ass way to go, but here we go. So let's begin with the National League West because I am a San Francisco Giants fan, so I got to begin with our division. And how do I think this division's going to turn out? Well, the two-time defending World Series champions are in our division, and they did not lose a step. As a matter of fact, they got better. And I do think they're going to win the division yet again, and that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They added the top-tier free agent yet again this year in Kyle Tucker, who's the type of guy, he hasn't won an MVP yet, but he's the type of dude who can win an MVP. They just added him to their already stellar lineup of Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman, and then all their other great hitters as well. So they're going to have no issues on the offensive side of things. My only concern with the Dodgers is their starting pitching and their relief pitching. I don't think they have a very good pitching rotation at all. I think from start to finish, for one, they're going to have a couple of guys begin the season on the injured list. But the thing about the Dodgers is they're definitely going to have zero issues scoring. And even when they suffer through injuries, their roster is deep enough to get through it. And also, they're the type of team that's always looking to make roster moves all the way up until the trade deadline. So with the Dodgers, they didn't lose a step. They got better. And even though their weakness is their pitching, from their starting pitching all the way down to the relief pitching, I don't expect that to be an issue for them. And I still expect the Dodgers to be one of the top-tier teams yet again. Finishing in second place in the National League West, I have the San Diego Padres. As a matter of fact, to me, the San Diego Padres are probably one of the most equipped teams, but especially in the National League, to keep up with the Dodgers. The only reason why I don't give the division to the Padres is simply because you can't believe in the Padres until they give you a reason to believe in them. I feel like their roster is stacked. They have enough offense to keep up with the Dodgers, but they also have great a much better starting pitching depth, and they also have a better rotation as far as relief pitching goes as well. But, I mean, you've got Manny Machado, you've got Fernando Tatis, you've got Jackson Merrill, you've got Castellanos, who they just added in the offseason, you've got Xander Bogaerts, Cronenworth. There are really an endless amount of dudes on this team who could just rake it and drill in some runs. They're great on the defensive side of the ball as well. It's the Padres. So you cannot trust the Padres until they actually prove you could trust them. So that's why I didn't take them to win the division just yet. But I do think they're going to be on the Dodgers' ass all season. I think if the Dodgers have anybody give them a run for their money, especially in the National League, I think it's going to be the Padres. Because like I said, I feel like this team is built already to beat them. And this is another team that's not afraid to make those mid-season moves all the way up until the trade deadline. So if they need to make some type of move at the starting pitcher position or get some relief pitchers or whatnot, I think the Padres could do it, and I feel like the Padres are going to be one of the better teams in the league, but they have to prove it to me. Finishing in third place in the National League West, I have the San Francisco Giants. I do like what they have going on offensively and defensively. This is going to be a great year to finally see. You know, we traded for Rafael Devers last year midseason, right before the trade deadline. And he didn't really get a chance to fit in. So I think this is going to be nice that he got a full off season with the Giants. And now we get to see what he's going to be like as the guy, the go-to guy. Now he's mostly going to be a DH. He might play a little bit of defense, but I think he's primarily going to be our DH for the most part. But I do like him, of course. I like the addition of Arias. He's not much of a home run hitter, but I think he's going to be a perfect hitter for this San Francisco Giants park. This is a hitter's park, especially if you like to just get on base. That's the type of dude that Arias is. He's always getting on base. He's a real tough dude to strike out, and I think he's going to thrive in this park, and I also like him defensively. Then you've got Willy Adames. We signed him last year. He started to really turn it on in the second half of the season, so I like what I'm seeing from him, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But he's a very streaky guy on the offensive side of the ball. And then, of course, Chapman, he's another reliable guy offensively and defensively. So I like those core four dudes. But then when you take a look at the pitching core of this team, starting pitcher, all we have is Webb. That's all we've got is Webb. And while I love him, he's a fantastic pitcher. We need somebody else, and we don't really have anybody else who's reliable. And I'm talking about the bullpen, too. I'm concerned about the bullpen. I don't know what we're going to do at the closer position. I don't know what we're going to do at any of the relief pitching positions. And I think that's going to end up being the Achilles heel for the Giants. Like I said, I like the moves that they made. I like the progress that they've made. But I still don't think they are there to actually really compete for a championship this season. But I definitely don't think they're going to be a bottom-dweller team like they've been over the last couple of years. Then finishing in fourth place in the National League West, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks. I feel like this is going to be more of a second-half team. They do have a lot of talent on this roster, but the problem is they have a ton of injuries to start the season. I mean, I think they're going to be missing three of their top starting pitchers to start the season on the injured list. Some of the pitchers, we don't know if we're going to see them until the All-Star break. Corbin Carroll, it looks like he is going to be fine to start the season, but, you know, he had that broken bone in his hand to start to start spring training. They did trade for Nolan Arenado, so I do like that move, but there's just a lot of questions with the Diamondbacks this year that I just kind of feel like they're going to be more of a second-half team, and I don't really feel like they're going to be a playoff-bound team. And then finishing in last place in the National League West, I have the Colorado Rockies. You look at this roster and I go, who even plays for this team? It was really difficult for me to even pick a dude where I'm like, you're going to shine this year. There might be some guys that shine, but this is a terrible team. They were one of the worst teams last year, and I expect them to be one of the worst teams yet again this year. So if you're a Colorado Rockies fan, you probably are not going to have a lot to cheer for this year yet again. Moving on to the American League West and how I feel that is going to shape up this season. The team that I feel is going to win the American League West this year, I have the Texas Rangers. They have a new manager this year because Bochy ended up retiring after last year. But what I like about this team is they did make some good moves to fill some positions in the offseason, but I really like their starting pitching rotation. So you've got Jacob DeGrom, who basically has spent a year and a half of his time with the Rangers on the injured list. Then he started to get it going at the end of last year, and I'm expecting DeGrom to be the same old dude. Then you've got Nathan Eovaldi, who kind of had a down year last year due to injury, so I expect him to come back strong this year and be the same old dude. But then they traded for Mackenzie Gore, and he's been wasting away with the Washington Nationals. He's a very talented pitcher. It's just you don't really know about him because he plays for the shitty-ass Nationals. So they traded for him in the offseason, and I think he's definitely going to be a nice piece to this starting rotation for the Texas Rangers. And I feel like this is going to be a good starting rotation that really is what carries them throughout the season. They also picked up Brandon Nimmo in the offseason, so I think that gives them a nice source of offense to add in with Corey Sager and Logan Wyatt. And then they also added in a savvy veteran. You know, he's kind of just trudged along over the last few seasons, but I still think he's a great dude to have on your roster and to just fill in when he needs to be there, and that's Andrew McCutchen. They picked him up in the offseason. And so I really like this Texas Rangers roster overall. And it's just the other teams that they're up against, I don't really believe in them at all. And so I feel like this is a coin toss between five teams who could really maybe win this division. But I think the Rangers have the best roster out of all of the five teams in this division. And that's why I'm going with the Rangers. Finishing in second place, I have the Seattle Mariners. Of course, you've got Cal Raleigh coming off of that MVP-type season he had last year. Of course, he didn't win the MVP, but he had an amazing year last year. It was a career year. And but other than him, it's the Mariners. The Mariners are kind of like the Padres. you can't believe in them until they give you a reason to believe in them. And the Mariners are just that team that is known for having a great year, and then the next year they just take a shit, and they just look like crap, and they don't do anything well. And that's, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I have them finishing in second place in this division. I expect them to be competitive in this division, but I just wouldn't be shocked if they're just one of those teams that's back and forth, up and down, streak, up, streak, down, streak, up, maybe suffering some injuries to their core guys. I don't know. I just don't believe in the Mariners, and that's why I don't have them winning this division. I feel like they're going to be competitive to a point, but I don't really expect to see them really even in the playoffs. Then finishing in third place in the American League West, I have the Houston Astros. To me, this just feels like a rebuild year for the Astros. They've lost a lot of their core guys over the years, and the guys that they still have that are a part of the core are just now starting to get older. They're this team that just is always getting injured, and their starting pitching is now suspect. They used to have one of the best starting pitching rotations in the league, great bullpen, and I don't think that's going to be anything close to what we're used to seeing with the Astros this year. I think the Astros are just not going to be a good team at all, and I just feel like it's going to be a struggle type year for them, and it just looks like a rebuild year, in my opinion, for the Astros. I wouldn't be shocked if the trade deadline rolls around and we start seeing them kind of selling off some dudes that we may not expect them to sell off. Then finishing in fourth place in the American League West, I have the Los Angeles Angels, and because Mike Trout is all they've got. They've got to hope this guy stays healthy, which is just really cross your fingers at this point because he is only getting older. He is a great player when he's out there. He's super fun to watch, but it's always when is he going to get injured, and you just never know what type of injury he's going to get. But when he's in there, good for you. That's all you've got. But beyond Mike Trout, the Angels have nothing to cheer for. And I expect the Angels to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And then finishing out the American League West, another garbage-ass team I have is the Sacramento A's. I know they don't like to be called the Sacramento A's because they're technically now the Las Vegas A's. But they are homed in Sacramento for now, and that's what I'm calling them, the Sacramento A's. And this is another team. I looked over their roster, and I was like, oof, who plays for this team? I don't even know if they have trade bait for this team, but they're terrible, they're awful, and I expect them to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. So that is how I believe the National League and American League West divisions will be breaking down. So like I said, on Monday, we will do the American League and National League East divisions. But enjoy the weekend of sports, y'all. It is March Madness. It is one of the best weekends of the year because it's just basketball from start to finish, and I fucking love it. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.